Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace, yours. Scramble through our world-class golf courses or shop your way through the square. Be one with nature as you hike or bike through our parks and trails or hunker down at one of our breweries. And when it's time to eat, be sure to bite into our eclectic food scene. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one ginger.
Hello.
What was that little look?
What?
I don't know. Are you excited for today?
Yeah, I've got some really good stuff planned for this episode.
He's feeling randy.
Jared literally has nothing planned ever, but that's fine because we forced you to be part of Killing Time.
Against your will.
Please help.
And pro bono.
I'm sending Morse code with my eyeballs right now.
He's here for it.
Yeah. He loves it.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
We're chilling.
Yeah, I ran out of clothes, so I'm wearing mats.
I love that on you.
Thank you.
That's a very
are
matte.
Are you leaning? See, you have always been very, like,
girly.
Feminine. Like, are you leaning into a little bit of a masculine vibe?
No. Since the pandemic, there's just nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Like, I used to wear dresses all the time, and I'm working from home mostly now, and it just seems... I don't want to beat my nice clothes up by wearing them for no reason.
I know.
So now I'm leaning into my comfy girl era.
Yeah.
And I'm preserving the clothes in the vault that I love.
Yeah.
For when it's time to break them back out.
I do love that.
Nowhere to go, nothing to do. That's my end game right there.
Nowhere to go, nothing to do.
Totally.
I mean, I literally live in sweatpants. It's kind of embarrassing.
You're killing it. There's nothing embarrassing about that.
I mean, I love it. It's where I find my comfort. If you're watching us on Patreon, you see our beautiful faces. If you're not on Patreon, we'd love to have you there. We have so much bonus content.
Mm.
Number one, video of Killing Time. If you love us shooting the shit and want to see video, full-length episodes.
Which we integrated last week.
Alexis loves a prop.
She has just decided we're going to start having some. We're like carrot top now.
I don't think
the
stakes could be any higher. Yep.
No, I mean, it is perfect for video. It's extra bonus value.
I have the crow whistle with me again if we need to break it back
I don't
out.
Think we need it again.
Okay.
I do like the crow whistle, but.
You were good at it.
Were pretty good
at it. Well, I had to learn. I learned in front of everybody.
I know.
It was fun.
Also, we have weekly bonus episodes, one episode a week, full-length true crime episodes, and... Anytime we do a multi-parter, you're going to get it on Patreon all at once.
Not to mention a little one-on-one interaction. You can send a message, maybe get a little response.
Oh, yeah.
Access and to the hosts.
I do think something that we've been doing on Patreon is taking listener submissions
for cases.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if you want to hear a case, if you have a case you've been obsessed with, or like a case from your hometown that there's not a little information about, We
will do it.
We will do that for you.
We will do it. And we have a backlog of more than 50 episodes, each a true crime case, there for the binging, should that be your thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, we put a lot of work into these weekly episodes that we're doing. They're not like a 20-minute episode. They're like an hour-long episode, a deep dive into a true crime case. You know, I just, if you're into First Degree, you will love Patreon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Should we get into the day today?
Yes.
Today is June 29th. A lot of things happened today.
Uh-oh.
1915, Juicy Fruit chewing gum was trademark registered.
Wow.
1915, over 100 years ago.
Damn.
I know. It's been a long time for Juicy Fruit. Not my favorite.
I like a...
Whoa.
I like a cinnamon or a menthol.
You like a cinnamon gum?
I just don't like fruity. Like mints. I like spearmint, regular mint.
It's like a fruity toothpaste really throws me off.
An orange is the worst.
I like something
that Aquafresh does an orange. And I need, it's not my thing.
I need something that's so minty that it hurts to inhale.
Yes.
Yeah, I need it. And they've been doing this alcohol-free mouthwash. That's not going to work for me.
That's
I need
not
the
it.
Alcohol in there. I need it to burn.
What
I
is know. Life without pain?
I know.
Mm.
I love the pain.
I love the pain.
So it only works if it's painful.
Yep.
Agreed.
That's what I believe. Okay, 1944. Gary Busey was born.
Yes. Yeah. I hope the whole episode's about Gary Busey.
No, it's
please.
Not. It should have. Oh, shit. No, it's not.
Please,
that's why
please.
I got it. Gary Busey was born.
I love him.
1944.
He's got quite a mouth on him.
Do you remember the VH1 show?
Not quite the Chompers.
Quite a chomp.
He's got those teeth, those big old teeth.
He's in Black Sheep. His character in Black Sheep. His teeth are so fucking large.
Gary Busey is a wild boy.
Yeah, he's a wild boy.
And as a wild boy myself, I love him.
Yeah.
I hope he's not problematic. I don't know if he is or not.
Everyone is a little bit deep down.
But I don't know.
I do think I heard about this in passing, and I'm not sure the in like I don't know the whole scope of it or if it's what happened or not. But I think I think he was in some sort of crash, motorcycle or car or something.
Recently?
I don't think he was wearing a helmet. And I think
did he survive?
He did, but I think that it
was
maybe
challenging.
Yeah, I
following
know.
The accident.
I don't know, but. I will say
half facts.
Welcome to the half facts podcast. We do not know anything that we're talking about.
No, we actually do, but because we riff, sometimes like I heard Gary Busey got an accident. And like we haven't prepared for your
impromptu. He literally heard down the grapevine. Who fucking
we haven't
knows?
Prepared for that question. Anything we know we're talking about, we research.
The
but
only thing
that comes up,
and the only thing you need to know, and I know this is a real 100% fact, is he's on Cameo. So
yes,
so he's fine.
So if you're feeling crazy,
How much does a Cameo cost?
It's like $300.
Really? I mean, I guess that's on. I think that's a good value.
Wait. That's another half fact. I don't know how much it costs.
Jared.
Oh,
spreading
my.
Lies and
I'm
propaganda.
Sorry.
Busey propaganda.
Shit.
Gary Busey.
Cameo. I'm going to say it's between $200 and $400.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what I would pay.
I think that's pretty valid.
You know what? He was in some fantastic movies, too. So, but you know.
$395.
There you go. $395.
Wow. That's... Even you were like, that was low.
I'll pay $395.
That is actually kind of crazy, $400.
Anyways.
I mean, I would charge that much for me. I'm like, to get ready to put makeup on? Come on.
Do you know how many times Cameo has tried to get me on
Do
there?
Do you know the owner of Cameo messaged me on Instagram? He's like, join my Cameo. I was like, no.
But you, like, how
I don't want to embarrass myself.
How many owners are there? I've gotten so many messages from so many different
owners. It's
probably
the same one. That's probably how they found me through you.
Probably.
Why would I do that when I could go on OnlyFans?
That's right. Selling feet pics. I got to do that still. Okay. 1975, Steve Wozniak tested his first prototype of the Apple I computer.
The Woz.
The Woz.
Love the Woz, dude.
I know. And then in 2007, the first generation iPhone was released by Apple. So that's kind of crazy. On the same day, first prototype of the Apple One and the first generation
it's
iPhone.
It's almost like they did it on purpose.
Oh, yes. You would think so.
I think there was some similarities in the presentation when they announced
I'm sure
it.
Oh, really? They did it on purpose.
Yeah. It's like the new generation.
Yeah, wasn't it like the hello message? I don't know. I could have them totally mixed up. That
Maybe.
Might have been I think that might be more Steve Jobs marketing in for
the hello, like
iMac.
Hello Moto?
Not Hello Moto.
No, it's like when you like, it's like hello, period.
Yeah, so, but I think that was a Steve Jobs thing.
Apple
Either
Simon.
Way, still a crazy coincidence.
May he
because
rest.
Those two things both were very impactful in
yeah.
our society.
Did Steve Woz, were they together from the beginning, Wozniak and Jobs?
Well, I mean, they were, their partnership was kind of the inception of Apple as we know it today.
I don't know why it said Steve Wozniak tested his first prototype. There was no mention of.
Well, I mean, he was the.
He's the brains.
If you were to really boil it down, he was the brains and.
Steve Jobs was the face.
Business.
Well, yeah, but.
Both.
Yeah, equally savvy, but in a couple
different
ways. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. You got to find somebody that fills in the blanks so you don't fill, you know?
That's what we do.
Yeah, I have no brain. Alexis is the brain.
You have all the brain. You're like the
Sometimes.
Kris Jenner genius that
I'm
drives.
I'm savvy. You're an intellectual.
Yeah, I can research.
I think
you're
you
an
can
intellectual
research.
Too.
I think
no,
you
but
might
neither
be
of us are that intellectual.
Yeah, we're kind of faking it.
I think you might be a genius.
No,
I've
really appreciate that.
She just really has her lane that she's really
no,
good in.
Like the way, I would never repeat this. I think Jack would say that I have grit. And not, yeah. And that's what pushes me forward.
A true bulldozer.
Well, no, it literally is. It was the episode that we did about the Oregon Trail that you're like, if all of my limbs were cut off.
I think I would live.
She would live out of spite.
You're fueled by vengeance.
She's fueled by vengeance.
I just think I would outlive both of you.
No, because I don't have vengeance. Because I've never been wrong.
I have grit and like determination and a lot of things to prove.
Yeah, yes. Because
My mom, if we were missing, she'd be like, Alexis is definitely dead. So I'd have to with my like my rotten body parts from cholera. Like I'd have to crawl through the desert to prove that my mom, to prove to her that I made it.
And I had a good childhood. So
you're like, I'm okay to die and I'm okay with it.
My parents would be looking for me.
It's been a good ride.
Yeah, and you'd also be like, I can die happy because I don't need any more validation. I've had it. And I'd be like, need to be validated.
The things that fuel us.
Feels good.
Okay, so the little mini tiny deep dive that we're doing is in 1997, Burger King launched a humorous advertising campaign known as the Subservient Chicken.
What?
Yes.
Aren't they all subservient?
The campaign featured a website where visitors can control a person in a chicken costume through their commands. The chicken would perform a range of entertaining actions responding to various prompts.
Is it real or digital?
Exercising or even playing dead. The subservient chicken became a viral sensation. In 1997, a viral sensation is interesting because what does that mean? And garnered widespread attention, showcasing the playful and creative side of advertising.
I've never heard of this.
Was it on the internet?
Allegedly.
But internet was so young.
Like, I don't know what internet you're on. Are you Googling?
Are we in dancing baby internet times? Like, I'm going to have a hard time with the demarcations between.
Do we have
internet.
A live video that's responding to your prompts? Because I got to be honest, back then, even loading a photo was problematic.
Yeah. Burger King.
Maybe if you had like a T1 connection, you were one of those, you were like the rich family on the block with like the buried like cable lines.
No, I had that like.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. There we go. Looks like it's a. Is
it like Dancing Baby?
Chicken. Yeah, we're the people who built Subservient Chicken. But how did the most famous bird in the history of the internet come into being?
Oh, this guy's just talking about it.
It looks like
it was a real person in a chicken costume in like
who received prompts and would just do what the prompts said.
It seems like the prompts came in, they filmed the video, then released the video. I don't think this was all happening like a Twitch
stream. It wasn't a live stream.
It wasn't banned in a bubble.
Yeah, banned in a bubble. Yeah, yeah.
That could go wrong so easily.
Yes.
You know, surprised it didn't.
I don't like the captive mascot like. Branding.
Well, especially the room he's in. We'll like post this on our Instagram, but like
it's
a basement.
Luxurious.
Kind of looks
freaky.
Like a Comfort Inn or something from like the 90s.
Or like, you know, like the horror house or something.
Mm.
Anyways, so that is your June 29th little summary.
Love that.
We're gonna get into something different for True Crime Rewind because like nothing was really tickling my fancy from the day. I searched far and wide and like nothing was worth doing a big deep dive into. So we're gonna go rogue.
I love
rogue.
That.
But before then, we have got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
All right. Welcome to On the Stand. It's another On the Stand. Every week, we bring a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand. We love it. We hate it. We talk about it. We bitch about it. We love it. I don't know what we're even doing.
I don't know what we're doing. What do you mean? In life? Like in general?
In general.
Yeah.
Well, vote if it's guilty or not guilty. Bring it to Instagram.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you have something that you want to bring to the stand, there's a phone number that you can call.
Mm.
And I'll tell you that number.
What's the phone number, Jared?
818-446-6889. Call that number.
Call that number. Call that number for the worsty-firsties.
Worsty-firsty. Call us for anything.
And to be fair, like, almost every single submission that we get hits the mark.
Everything's
like,
so good.
They're
everything
usually
does.
Better than ours.
Yeah.
So just keep them coming. They're really good.
Absolutely. I know, because I feel like our listeners are still in like the Seinfeld minutia of like the everyday grinding of the gears.
I feel like if that lightning bolt hits you and you're like, oh shit, I got to call in on this, like it's going to be good. And more often than not, actually pretty much 100% of the time, they are really good. So
love that.
We'd love to hear them.
Yeah. Should we listen to the listener first?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
Good morning, two girls, one ginger. I love you guys. What I am putting on the stand today, I take this very personally, and I feel like I deal with it a lot. but it's going up to a bar and not knowing what you want to order. And this kind of pisses me off because I feel like I have my drink order. I'm a wine girl. If not, I'll have my dirty martini. But whatever it is, let's say a place does not have something to drink, I know what I'm ordering. But when someone goes up to a bartender and literally has no fucking clue what they're about to order, bro, move. Go, like, think about this somewhere else, but not at the bar. I've been a bartender. This is annoying as well. Get your shit together and just go. Like, you have plenty of options. Look at it before. Don't stand there. We're all trying to get our drink in. But that's it. You guys are amazing. Love you guys. Thank you.
I identify with this big time because I have like three drinks that I order.
Yeah.
What's that?
It just depends. So there's one big factor, which is time of day. So are we at brunch or like early in the day? It's a Bloody
Espresso
Mary.
Martini.
It's a Bloody Mary.
Okay.
Like, am I hungover? Is it early? Or am I trying to just get back to good?
Though.
I don't care.
I know, but
I ignore
so
my
good.
Body.
They are tasty.
Ignore my body.
Ignore your body and get a...
Jared has zero body awareness.
I've done it where I've gotten multiple Bloody Marys, like, in a row. I'll just, like, slam a bunch of tomato
juice.
They
are delicious.
They're so good.
I love them so much. I, for years, was like, no. And then one day I had one, and I was like, this is the thing for me.
Yeah. And then everything changed.
And then
they're delicious.
And then so I kind of cut beer out like a lot lately, but midday to like evening, like depending on where the night's headed, a dirty martini. I love the salty brininess
filthy.
Of it. Something about me just loves a savory drink, apparently, because
he just loves drying up his insides while he's consuming alcohol.
Too much salt. I've stopped with the dirty martinis. I've done like just regular dirty martini because I'm just like, too salty.
I tell him so swampy.
The next day, I feel like one of those gloves, those plastic gloves, a latex glove filled with water. Like that, my whole body looks like that.
And also
from
a piece
salt.
Of beef jerky.
You feel like you just spent all night eating sand.
And then my face, all the moisture from my face got sucked out to fill up my water balloon body. So I'm like, my dry face, moist insides.
But
not
to be
vibe.
Fair... I'm out there drinking poison either way, so like, let me have fun with it. You know,
honestly,
that's what I look at.
We
it.
Dealt with this weekend. It was like we had been drinking kind of all day, and it got to the point where it's like, should we go home now or should we like keep going? And I'm like, I'm gonna feel like fucking garbage tomorrow. I might as well send it.
Send it.
Because I'm not gonna feel good.
Cue the fireball.
We're
shot.
We're all gonna die one day.
Yes, and then the fireball.
The fireball shot is the defining moment of every night that I've ever had, where it's like when the option shows up and that. Fucking cinnamon shot shows its ugly head.
I love Fireball. You know,
I know.
It's the best.
We always, in our friendship group, someone always has a hidden one in their freezer.
Yeah. Yep.
And well, it is the best.
We are going to bring it to France for my wedding.
Of course we are.
We are either smuggling it or...
You know
I think
in that
he'll
moment.
Let us bring it legally.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I mean putting it in our suitcase.
Yeah, when we say smuggle, we mean carry legally.
But I mean, like, in that moment, you know, like, I'm either going to send it and pay right now or I'm going to... retire early and like that's the end of my night. Like when the fireball shot shows up, that's the great definer.
Okay, get back to the point.
So those are my three things. That's what I'm saying. If it just depends.
What's on the
on,
stand?
Oh, knowing what you're gonna order from the bar.
I think she's 100% correct.
Yeah.
No, she is correct.
She's prosecuting not knowing. And I think those peeps are guilty and she's perfect.
For sure.
This is one of my biggest pet peeves in the entire world, especially if you're in a long line. Even at Starbucks. It's like you're in this long line for anything. You have so much time to look at a menu. Like, this is what the line waiting is for. But then when you get up to the front and every time it happens, then I'm like, why is everybody taking so fucking long? Watch when I get to the front of the line. It's going to be so fast.
Get it together, people.
Immediate in and out. I pay so fast because it's like, I know what I'm doing. I'm trying to be speedy.
And this is why in a million words, I was just trying to say, have a personal playbook. So when you show up, you're like, it's this, whatever the thing is for you, you're like, this is what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
100%.
So.
I agree.
Love that.
It's so guilty.
It's guilty.
Big pet peeve.
So guilty.
Do you want to go first?
I'll go first today.
There you go.
All right. This is very pertinent to something that Jack and I have just done. I'm putting marriage licenses on the stand.
Oh, you need
this
one.
Day.
You definitely need one.
You need a marriage license. It's kind of interesting, though, the way they set this up. Because in California, I know it's probably different everywhere, but... and. Talking to your parents, it used to be, did you know this? You used to have to get your blood drawn for this.
What?
I don't know the reason, you just had to. Anyways, we didn't have to do that. We went in, and you go to, like, the way that it worked for us was we go to, like, a government building. It's like the county recorder or whatever it is.
You're basically at the DMV.
Uh-huh.
So you get a license, and then you have 90 days from the grant of the license to then officiate.
Consummate.
Consummate would, I think that's when you have sex.
No,
after you.
Not necessarily. Well, it's the ceremony.
But I think for us.
Consummate has different meanings, I think, for different people.
For us, the consummation window is a lot shorter. Like, pretty much immediately.
You're like, we're going to have sex right now.
Yeah.
Right after.
So should we have sex in the car?
But like, we're doing like a non-traditional thing where you consummate every step of the process.
Yeah, totally.
No, so anyways, we go in and it's like, it's a government building. So you go in, it's pretty sterile.
Super sterile.
Some people do choose to have their license and their like ceremony right then and there, which given how difficult it is to plan a wedding and watching what Jack's been through for the whole thing. While we were in there, I was like, damn, this looks kind of nice.
Oh my God. It was actually really cute because I was just in sweatpants and like a sweatshirt, hair pulled back, no makeup. And we're going to like, you know, get the paperwork done. And we saw a couple people, like the girls were in their white dresses, their makeup were done. Like it was really fucking cute.
Yeah. And we were walking out and I was like, shit, I wonder if like we should have like really gone for it. But we're doing France. It's going to be a whole thing.
And you guys are doing your courthouse wedding too.
Yeah.
I mean, we're doing far too much, but I want to.
But the
you
reason
you have to, when I get married,
I'm like, this is my only time.
If
I'm
I
doing
ever
it.
Do exactly. I'm like, I'm doing engagement party. I'm doing bridal. I'm doing literally everything.
Yeah,
because like when
else are you gonna do it?
God, hoping it's the only time.
Exactly.
The reason I have this on the stand today is because the process is it's not that difficult, but it is a little bit like two step when it doesn't need to be, and I think it would be so much easier if it was just like a federal thing where like the day, like you just have one day where you just go. Get the paper. It's done. You're done. It's over. You're married. Like,
they don't make
it just
it
seems
that easy.
Easier.
No.
They want you to jump through the hoops.
But there's other elements that can be introduced when you're like in this process. And so for Jack and I, just a like funny story about it was we're at the window and they're like going over it and making sure everything's correct. So we're like almost about to finalize and get our license.
Which, by the way, number one, you need to put like your parents' names on it.
You do.
And Jared's mom's middle name
spelled wrong from birth.
Was
my grandma spelled
wrong
it wrong
on her birth certificate. It's Clarice, but it's spelled like
Clarace, C-L-A-R-A-I-C-E. So my grandma had spelled it wrong, but we're at
but
the window.
Is it wrong if it was her choice?
No, I mean, I think
she just spelled it different.
I think she misspelled it.
Clarice, the I would be in the first half of the name. It's in the back half.
Claire, C-L-A-I-R. I-C-E.
Yeah, I-C-E.
And it's opposite.
The A is on the best. So C-L-A-R-A-I-C-E.
Whatever. It was just a funny tidbit.
There was a clerical error. Anyways, we've finished all that. We're about to get the license. The duality of the situation was crazy because right next to us, there's another window. You're at like a, like a paned window.
Like a DMV window.
Yeah. And right next to us is a couple getting a divorce. So they're divorcing and
it's
we
so
are
funny.
Getting
are they amicable?
Yeah.
He said yeah and Jack's like eh.
She goes
both like eh. So basically it was like an older, they're probably in their 60s.
Yeah.
And the wife was there by herself and she's kind of just like waiting and waiting and waiting, and the person at the window is like, so where's your husband? She's like, he's still trying to park right now. So it's like,
ask me why we're getting divorced.
Yeah.
I literally go to Jared. I was like, seems like the reason why they're getting divorced. And like, he finally comes like running in, like huffing and puffing.
He's like, I want this divorce too.
Yeah. He's like, don't, please.
He's like, please let me have it.
Yeah.
But it was just so funny because we're like, and the people in back of us that came in as we were leaving were also getting married. They're so happy.
It
and the girl's
three...
like, congratulations. I was like, I'm in sweatpants.
The dichotomy is fascinating. Yeah.
It was really funny because like right next door and like all that's separating you is like a pane of COVID glass, basically.
Yeah.
And
I was going to say not. I was going to say it was guilty. The marriage license itself was guilty because it feels like an extra step. But after going through that process, I'm saying not guilty because it was a really cool perspective to be like, we were in the middle of this tier of three people where it was like, divorce and then us who were just kind of there because it was like a formality and
because
then it was
you're
someone...
doing it overseas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And then people who are doing it there.
Yeah.
And this is something they're really excited
yeah,
about.
Yeah. It's like you see the excitement, the nothingness of us, and then like the fucking pissed offness of the people getting divorced.
So we ended up having a good time. So I'm saying not guilty.
Not guilty.
It was an experience
I
for
love
sure.
That.
Yeah, it was fun. I loved it.
Yeah.
Me too.
I'll go next. Okay, so we are actually chatting about this right before we started recording, that we are all watching the show From. Now, I highly recommend this show to everybody out there.
So it's on MGM Plus, but it's you get the first Hulu. Season free.
Oh, Amazon Prime.
On Amazon Prime. And then you have to pay for the second, I think, through MGM.
Whatever. But it's by the people that did Lost. So it's very Losty. I have been waiting for a show like this for so long because I love mystery. I love theorizing. I love going on the subreddits and like seeing what the fuck is going on. The show is amazing. And like every episode is just like they give you a little something, but they take something away. And you're like always guessing. But what I am putting on the stand is the acting in the show is not the best.
So we're relying on the plot to
I love
carry
it.
The mystique, there's the mystery. What's
the
keeping you there?
Who's the bad actor in
that show? Well, I think the whole main family are pretty bad actors.
Well, they don't explain why the wife is from a different country.
I don't think she's supposed to be. I don't think she's supposed to have a full accent.
She
I
does.
Think it's just kind of coming
but
out.
But that's the thing. It's like, but maybe she's from Brazil and like in before they got to this place. But they never explain that because I'm like, she is from a different country than her husband.
Yeah.
So, which is fine. Just
but give me some backstory.
Give me some backstory.
Well,
we don't want to spoil
unless,
anything
unless
today.
Unless
she's
we literally supposed can't. To seem American, and then the acting's very bad, if that's the case.
I just think she's not a great actor at all. But that, what I'm putting on the stand is like a show that has a great fucking plot, but bad acting. Because this has been like a point of contention. We've talked about it with some of our other friends about the show specifically and some other shows like that, where I'm like, I can get past the bad acting if the plot is good. Like the plot of the show is great. It's like the perfect show for me. I can get past some of like...
To be fair, that's how Lost was. That's how Dexter was. Like,
yeah.
If you go back to those shows, the plot itself is so great.
Dexter is good and also the acting is good.
The
I
acting
love
is not good on Dexter.
I
love
remember,
Dexter.
Who's a bad actor on Dexter?
Dude. I love Dexter.
Dexter?
No, he's the best part of the show. Michael C. Hall is an incredible
actor. Everyone
is
good on Dexter. The
hard
the
sister? Disagree.
No, the male Latino detective who's like who's wears a hat and has a lisp.
I forget
not
his name.
Great.
He's got the, like the fedoras.
He's like Dex man. You know, he comes up in the new season.
I didn't think Deb was great.
I think Deb's amazing.
Really?
You know, they were together in real life till they broke up.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
she's
we
dating her brother.
Knows that, I think.
No, she wasn't dating her brother. She was.
He's her brother on the show.
But they were husband and wife before that.
She's married to her brother.
Yes.
Problematic. No, I mean, I don't really remember Dexter enough to remember how good the acting was.
But I see where you're at with that because it's like, we watch it every night and I'm like,
Jared's like, oh, this acting sucks. And I'm like, shut the fuck
I
up.
I love Dexter's acting. I never noticed that.
No, I'm talking about From.
I like From's acting too. It's over the top, but like imagine if a bunch of fucking things are trying to eat you.
That's true.
There's just moments skewy. Where it's like...
It is scary.
It is skewy.
But anyways, I mean, if we're putting From on the stand, not guilty. Great show for anybody that needs that. Anybody that fucking watched Lost and you're like, I fucking want Lost again. It's definitely nowhere near as good as Lost, but it fills a little bit of the void.
I would
I'm telling
argue
you,
that it,
the
I
one
would
after
argue...
that, Outer Range. That's the one I was telling you about with James Brolin, Imogen Poots.
Poots.
And a bunch of other amazing actors. It's the craziest show.
It's Josh.
It's
Josh.
Neck and neck with...
What did she say?
Josh Brolin. Sorry, go ahead.
Is it James or Josh?
Josh.
Josh Brolin.
The handsome one.
I was like, who is James Brolin?
He's someone not... Okay, so this is from a Friends episode.
Harry Winkler.
Phoebe says she's sleeping with James Brolin, and everyone thinks it's Josh Brolin, and then it's like some troll.
Oh, see, I'm
so
lucky
you're right, but I got
Friends
confused. But it's Josh.
Yeah,
Josh Brolin and Imogen Poots.
Thanos.
And everyone's it's an amazing show.
Okay,
that's the one you guys need to see.
Look at that.
All right. Well, I'm putting bad acting, good show, not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Keep me engaged. Let's have some fun.
All right, Lex.
Okay. This is a very broad one. I'm going with all proteins should have cheese on it.
Yes.
Fuck yeah, dude. Yes.
Like, I think a steak should have like a gorgonzola crumble. I think a chicken filet should have like a cheddar crumble.
Yeah.
Like,
no, we've talked about the chicken sandwich and whether there should be cheese on it, which
I
always say.
I don't even think an egg should be without cheese. And I made this known.
Yeah.
We went to Jack's parents' house for her birthday and she told me about this legendary sandwich her mom does. I was like, that sounds incredible, but like, can we put cheese on it?
Yeah.
Because otherwise.
And honestly, it was better with
I'm
cheese.
I'm a cheese addict.
Yes.
I think that's my thing.
Oh.
So I'm saying there cannot be a protein without cheese. I need a burger patty with cheese. I need a chicken patty with cheese. I need A tuna sandwich, arguably a slice of Swiss.
No,
you know?
I like this a lot. You can have a tuna sandwich without cheese. A tuna melt. That's
yeah, I'm just saying, like, I just can't. I struggle to have a protein without a cheese.
I like this a lot. I feel like if you're...
Unless we're doing a raw bar and we're doing crab legs and shrimp, that's different.
We don't
seafood
we,
doesn't really
you exclude seafood,
doesn't
seafood from a
except
cheese.
Except for fish fillet.
Yes, a fish fillet
we want
is
cheese with fish fillet?
The fish fillet comes with
the
cheese.
The McFish.
Mm. It literally comes with cheese.
Really?
But a salmon fillet should not have cheese on it. I will say...
I don't really cheese my fish, so I'm out on the
cheese.
Fillet.
I mean, maybe, though.
I'm
honestly,
just saying, proteins generally should have cheese
proteins.
Or I'm not going to eat it. Except lamb. You don't really put cheese on lamb either.
Let's say land-based protein. I like this.
I bet if you put fish on a cheese, it's good.
Fish on a cheese, yeah. Huh?
I mean, cheese on a fish.
Cheese on fish, fish on cheese.
If you put a fish on a cheese, it's also good.
That's fine.
I like this because...
Add cheese to stuff.
It's no disrespect to our vegan and vegetarian friends. It's like, if you're already eating the protein...
Double down.
Let's double down. Let's get that cheese on there. Let's
get
that
extra
layer of fun.
I'm sorry, you cannot make a vegan cheese that is good in any way, shape, or form.
I will say, vegan cheese is very gooey, but it's just not the same.
It's not good.
It's the gooiness that scares me.
I've had a good vegan cheese, but it's just not... It's good. It's just not as good as real cheese.
The best thing I've ever had that was vegan was made by Matt.
No, Matt's
it
really
was
good.
Whatever that ground beef stuff
is.
No cheese on
it. Can only get so good.
No, dude,
when
this
it's vegan.
This stuff, because he left a bowl of it.
And
at
his
our
enchiladas
place.
Are good. No, Matt is a great cook. He's just there's no cheese
still
on
vegan.
It.
Still vegan.
Yeah.
Matt, if you're listening,
we
send
love
me.
You.
As soon,
no,
Matt, as soon as you hear this, please send me the recipe.
And like
for
I want to add
shrimp.
I love what
was.
He does. I'm like, I want to add shrimp to what you just cooked.
Ooh, yeah.
Or just like a handful of cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's delicious, and I do. That's how we work.
All right, well, when we come back, it is time for something new.
Woo!
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus, and I couldn't practice enough, and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop, or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways. And with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences. And before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the real world makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For The RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Okay, we've done this once before, but I wanted to do a little Reddit search, and we're going deep into Am I the Asshole subreddit.
Love this.
Which I love.
Me too.
Jared, do you want to read these?
I'd love to.
I feel like a dramatic reading from you would be pretty good. We've got two of them, and they're two pretty good Am I the Assholes that I feel like we could weigh in on, so I'd like you to do a dramatic reading.
Bold of you to assume that I can read.
Which, by the way, Am I the Asshole subreddit is huge, and it's such a good read. It's people writing in. They went through like a situation, and they're like, was I the asshole in this situation, or was it the other person? And then everybody, it's like on the stand. Everybody weighs in and is like, you're the asshole, not the asshole, whatever.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Am I the asshole for bringing my sister-in-law's wallet to the restaurant when she conveniently always forgets it?
Mm.
That's funny.
My 28-year-old sister-in-law, in air quotes, Amy, She always comes to visit from out of town. She stays with us instead of a hotel and always wants to go to expensive restaurants. She always conveniently forgets her wallet or... has some other sort of excuse as to why
that
she can't pay her share.
I could never do something like that.
No.
She has implied that since I make much more money than her, I should be the one to pay.
Gross.
I do make a fair amount of money, but not so much that I can treat someone every time they come into town. Probably can if you make a fair amount of money, but whatever.
Probably can, but also she shouldn't do this.
Nonetheless,
this is a weird expectation.
In the past, I have just paid the bill and asked her to pay me back. She never has. I'm going to stop right here really quick. You got to get the Venmo with before you leave, because if you don't, it's not coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She had made a reservation.
Some people refuse Venmos, and they just ignore them forever.
Some people are like, I don't have it. I'm like, well, you need to get it.
Get it.
She had made a reservation at an extremely expensive restaurant last night, and before we left, I made it clear that I wouldn't be paying her bill,
yes.
Which is a bold move.
Boundaries. I love it.
This is where I might be the asshole, and I'll admit I got this move straight from an episode of 2.5 Men.
Okay. Charlie Sheen.
Sheen, guaranteed.
That's questionable.
Guaranteed. Yeah. As we were leaving, her and my husband went to the car. I pretended I forgot something and went back inside. I found her wallet sitting right on top of her suitcase. I put it in my purse and we went to the restaurant. When we were done eating, I asked for separate bills. She said, no, we need one bill because she forgot her wallet again. I reached in my purse and said, this wallet? She was extremely furious. She said that I should not have touched or grabbed her wallet. So am I the asshole?
No. Nope.
Dude, this story is crazy.
No, you're not.
If you do
because
bullshit.
Because you knew that it would be awkward, but you were doing it to make a point. So no, you're not the asshole because you're doing exactly what you intended to do.
Yep.
She responded exactly the way you expected. She was defensive, but like how much... I've never forgotten my wallet ever once.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the audacity. It's so crazy.
To think other people will cover for you is bizarre.
But and then you are the one that's like, we need to go to this restaurant. It would be one thing if it's like, yes,
I'm down for whatever.
Or like, and they're like treating you because you are in town and you're hosting them or whatever. Yeah. But like she comes into town knowing that she can be like, I want to go to Carbone. And then I know that you're going to pay for it, but I'm going to do this thing where I'm going to leave my wallet at home on purpose.
So I can't chip in.
But like, that's such a gross thing to do over and it's gross to do once.
So there's 0% chance this person's the asshole because if this has happened more than once, I'd be driven to something like that, to be honest. If this was a person like in my family, we're all staying in the same sort of, fuck yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I don't even think you said this in that post, but so this is her sister-in-law. So she's her husband's sister. She said that she doesn't expect the husband to ever pay. She expects her to pay.
The sister.
She expects the wife to pay, even though it's the sister-in-law. Like, she doesn't expect her brother to pay, but it's her responsibility to pay for her. So it's like,
yeah,
what in the fuck?
Yeah, it says, no, not my husband should pay, but me specifically.
It's just so wild to
me. No, I'd be like, here's your wallet, sweetie. Why don't you get me since I keep getting you?
Yeah. When you treat people differently based on how much they make, whether it's more or less than
you. Is it because she makes more money?
Yeah.
Yeah, she makes a good amount of money.
Fuck that.
Yeah. I know.
Then don't come to the dinner.
You can't just expect, and you should always offer.
Or what you should do is be like, early on, I can't pay for this, guys. So if you guys want to come here,
yeah,
are you guys cool with getting me?
But
because
if you're suggesting it, like...
But that's what's even more fucked up, because like, I'm sorry, if one of my friends was like, hey, I can't afford that, but if it's where you guys want to go, I'd be like, then I got you.
Yeah.
And that's a decision you make early.
Maybe there was like she missed like setting up a boundary in the beginning. Yeah. And then it got to a point where it was just like too far gone that it's like, now you can't set up this boundary now because she's done this and taken advantage of you so many times.
This person who did the surprise attack with the wallet is not the asshole. Because
Because
if you do bullshitty things and you do them repeatly to family, they can call you on your bullshit.
Well, your sister seems your sister-in-law seems like a bad person.
Yeah.
Well, in the words of James Kennedy from Vanderpump, if you do outrageous shit, expect an outrageous response.
Ah, mic drop.
Where it's like, yeah, that was really bold of her to grab your wallet and bring it. But like, it's kind of outrageous to keep expecting her to pay for it.
Well, it's disgusting. Yeah. That's just like...
Well, it's advantage taking. It's all the things.
Yeah, it's gross. Like, you're not a good friend. You're not a good sister-in-law. Like, you're not a great person in
Agreed.
My perspective.
You're a worm with a mustache.
Worm with a mustache with and a mustache. James Kennedy. Okay, do the next one.
All right. Am I the asshole for wearing a wedding dress at a wedding?
Mm-hmm. Depends.
I think we need some context here. Let's get into it. So my friend... A 20-year-old female and I, a 19-year-old male, have been friends for a few years, and she recently got engaged. A week ago, I got a DM from her for a small costume party she was hosting as a celebration for her getting engaged. I asked if there was a theme, and she said there wasn't. I'm a cosplayer, so I had a lot of choices.
Love that.
Love that. You got a closet full of costumes.
Yeah.
I didn't want to rock up in an anime cosplay, so I thought it would be funny to go to an engagement party as the corpse bride.
I think that's funny.
I arrived at her house yesterday and everything seemed normal. A few people complimented my costume and I was having a lot of fun. After 10 minutes, my friend's fiance walked in a black tuxedo and announced this was actually their wedding.
Well,
this information
is
new.
Yeah.
Apparently, my friend saw a video of someone doing this and wanted to do the same. He asked all of us to go to the backyard and the ceremony began. I went straight to him. I asked him if I should quickly go home and change my outfit, a kind thing to do, and that I would get back before it started. He told me that it was fine since I didn't know this was going to happen. I trusted him and followed everybody outside. They got married and everything seemed fine. The reception was just in their house again, so everybody walked back inside and picked up where they left off. We all had a blast. I got home and half an hour passed before my phone started getting notifications. I checked, and it was my friend texting me, cussing me out, telling me how I ruined her wedding. I was really confused and asked what I did. That only made her more angry. She told me it was basic knowledge not to wear a wedding dress to a wedding.
Insane.
I reminded her I had no idea it was a wedding, and that I asked her now husband if I should change, and he said it was fine. She didn't respond, but I got a text from her husband. He asked why I would tell her that he said it was fine. I told him he said it was fine. Then he said how I should have changed anyways, and it's my fault that the two are now fighting over this. I've tried texting her that I was sorry, and if
this
I had known, I wouldn't have done it.
You are not the asshole. I don't even need to hear anymore. These people are petty. They should be focusing on their new marriage. If you're going to surprise wedding people, then you can't have everything to your liking. I'm sorry.
This is the worst part, and this is how you know this marriage is probably doomed.
This marriage is doomed.
Here's the last sentence. I woke up today and I saw her and her husband have blocked me on everything.
That is sick.
It's sick.
That is so fucking stupid.
Also, by the way, this is a guy too, like, which I think adds another layer of like,
this isn't a woman stealing the bride's thunder. This is a man dresses in wedding dress as a joke following your instructions
at a costume party.
Here's, not knowing there was going to be a wedding.
Here's a general rule. If you are going to surprise somebody with anything, you are not allowed to judge them based on their reaction to that surprise.
Yeah.
Everybody reacts differently in a situation. This person did not have prior knowledge that this was going to happen. You can't then go back and be like, oh, this is against the rules.
But the gaslighting, and like, it's so funny because it's like, she got pissed even though the husband said it was fine. And then the husband's like, well, you should have changed anyways, even though I told you it was fine. It's like,
and also, why did you tell her I said it was fine?
This is not going to work. It's not going to work.
I just love it. I'm like, this poor guy, he was just trying to wear a good costume
to a party that he didn't know was a wedding.
A costume party is supposed to be a fun thing. Who gives a shit?
No, this woman is sick.
She's sick.
I'm upset.
I'm upset too.
Fuck.
I'm upset. Now I'm upset. I have to drive home upset after this now.
Neither of these people are the asshole. But like, such good stories.
But they're kind of naughty.
They're kind of naughty. And I think it's time to hear about some of the naughty things that you people have done.
Yeah, naughtykins. Let's get into it.
Spectrum Business knows small business owners have to do it all. Get Spectrum One for Business. Just $49.99 a month for internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for a year. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Hi, I am calling for the worst thing I've ever done. Arguably, definitely not the worst thing, but it's up there for sure. So this was when I had just turned 16. So fresh license. I actually hadn't gotten my own car yet. Arguably, you know, definitely a spoiled little brat and was begging my parents for my own car, definitely privileged. But before I got that, I was borrowing, you know, my parents and siblings' cars to get into all sorts of teenage shenanigans, of course. And one night, I was begging my mom to go somewhere, I can't even recall, probably a boyfriend's house. So I had to borrow her Ford, I believe it was an Expedition, like just a huge, you know, tank Ford SUV that she had then. So I begged her to borrow it. It took a lot of pleading, and she did agree after said begging. And I'm backing out of our driveway, and it's a pretty normal driveway, and it was at night. Not paying attention, new driver, so, you know, mistakes happen, and I hit a car that was at the end of our driveway, and I hit it really good. I'm not talking, like, little, oop, I got your fender. No. I, like, slammed into this car. It was my sister's Volkswagen Jetta, brand new. It was so bad that it crinkled up, like, the hood of her car. It was really bad. About the same time, my now brother-in-law, but he was dating a different sister at the time, pulled up to our house, and I was just in full panic. What do I do? I don't know what to do. Do I go inside? He said, just hit the gas and go. She'll never know, hopefully. So I took his advice. We swore to secrecy, and I left. So, yeah, she had gone to Target the next day. She had parked. She'd gone in the store. She came back and saw this destruction. Her headlight was messed up. Both of them were out. The hood was crinkled up. It was just bad damage. And she saw it and thought that someone had hit her car in the Target parking lot and then ran. So it ran, essentially. So I hear about this from my parents, and they're talking about, oh, that's horrible. I don't know why anybody would do that. Like, what a horrible thing. So easy to, like, leave a note or go inside. Just really damning this person that hit and run. And it was me the whole time, sitting there, not saying a word, just sweating bullets. I have no idea idea how she didn't see that the vehicle was messed up the night before when she, like, left her house, because she also went to a friend's house that night. No idea. I can only assume because it was dark and she was also younger, she just wasn't paying attention and didn't see it. So anyway, they filed for a hit and run. Insurance took care of it, of course. I feel a little bit like I then committed insurance fraud because I didn't tell anybody. Luckily, my mom's car didn't have a scratch on it, so no one found out. Those tanks are solid. And my now brother-in-law, who was another sister's boyfriend at the time, never said anything. So to this day, I still haven't told anybody. We still joke about it, my brother-in-law. And, you know, it's kind of like our little secret. But I think one day, you know, at a family dinner or a Christmas or something, I will spill the tea and talk about the time that I accidentally helped them commit insurance fraud. All right. Well, thanks. I don't really feel that bad about it, but it's definitely not the worst thing I've done, but probably the funniest, not-so-great thing I've done. So love you guys and have a great day.
I feel like this is something I would have done back then, but now I would have long come clean.
Yeah.
Like, my sisters were obsessed with each other, and it would have been like, haha, I actually am the one who smashed your car.
Yeah.
I mean, is it kind of like the same thing as when I was stealing vodka from my parents and replacing it with water? Eventually. That, like, now it's funny, but, like, I would have never back in the day.
There's some sort of statute on when you can come clean to, like, family members about something that you
did.
Well,
it depends on the family member. Not everyone can handle it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
But, like, somebody that you know is not going to.
That's right. That's right. But it sounds like you and your sisters are tight and that they don't care that much.
I think
they got back. She's over it.
Life is full of little dings and dents and surprises.
Dings and dents.
We're all just made up of dings and dents.
We're doing our best.
So, it's like we're space dust.
In your case, crumples, because you crumpled this car.
Yeah.
However,
but you're not a bad person.
Let's be honest. They don't make cars like they used to. That was like a 1957 like Chevy,
a boat car,
that thing wouldn't have even moved.
Yeah, you'd be fine.
So this isn't on you. This is on the car manufacturers.
100%.
You know, so
they're
you can't
people.
Take responsibility here. It's not your fault.
All right, you're perfect.
We're running out of time, Lex. We've got to hear the stanza.
Oh, it's good. But it's several stanzas.
Another long one.
Mm. This one is called I'm George, Am I the Asshole?
Okay.
On Reddit stage, a tale unfolds. George Costanza, the story he holds. In the realm of Am I the Asshole? He posts, seeking judgment, opinions, and utmost boasts. With trembling hands, he spills his strife, the chaos, the missteps that plagued his life. I yelled at my boss, was that out of line? Am I the asshole? Please define. He recounts the tales of his failed romance, the blunders, the quirks, the comical dance. I pretend to be an architect, you see. Am I the asshole? Pray tell me. The Redditors gather, opinions collide. A virtual journey where truth's amplified. Some deem him guilty, a self-centered mess, while others find humor in his endless distress. George, bewildered, awaits their decree in hopes that absolution will set him free. But the judgments pour in. A torrential rain, a comedic calamity causing him pain.
Whoa.
With each verdict, George's spirit deflates. The sting of judgment, a burden he hates. But amidst the chaos, a glimmer ignites, a spark of self-awareness, a humble insight. For in the depths of his flaws, George finds peace. For in the depths of his flaws, George finds grace, a mirror reflecting the human race. The laughter he evokes, the comic relief, a reminder of our own follies and grief.
Holy shit.
So George Costanza, though often despised, your presence on Reddit a comedic surprise. You may be the asshole in certain scenes, but your flawed existence unveils life's funny extremes.
Wow.
A novel.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I'm exhausted. I need to go take
Alexis
a nap
like
and
a
recharge.
Couple days to recover. Great job. You get some snaps.
Snappies.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
Hey.
Spectrum Business knows small business owners have to do it all. Get Spectrum One for Business. Just $49.99 a month for internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for a year. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.